We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Go episode 791 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Tuesday, March 26, 2024. It is day three of the NFL's annual league meeting, aka the owners' meetings in Orlando, Florida. It is the day on which we expect to hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn as we have what is known as the NFC Coaches Breakfast. We on Monday morning had sessions for AFC head coaches with reporters at what was the AFC coaches breakfast. We on Tuesday morning have sessions for NFC head coaches with reporters in the NFC coaches breakfast. Dan Quinn was expected to speak to reporters around 7:45 on Tuesday morning. Breakfast with Dan Quinn. Scrambled eggs, omelets, pancakes, waffles, French toast. Eat what you want, but we on Tuesday morning have breakfast with Dan Quinn. Hello and welcome to this Tuesday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Perhaps the most notable Commanders-related item from that AFC coach's breakfast on Monday morning was the following from the New England Patriots' new head coach, Jerod Mayo, whose Pats have the number 3 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, in which the Commanders have the number 2 overall pick. We had the following exchange between Commanders insider Sam Fortier of the Washington Post and Jerod Mayo. Here you go.
Do you have a sense of what Washington will do it to, or how concerted will you try to figure that out throughout this process?
Honestly, we have no clue, and I don't think anyone in here really knows exactly what Washington is going to do. I think everyone knows what Chicago is going to do at one, but the rest of it, honestly, is just up in the air. And when you see these other teams making moves, you know, acquiring pieces to move, like we could sit here and say Washington today, that could be somebody else on draft day. So I don't want to speculate on that.
So, Jerod Mayo, on whether he has a sense of what Washington will do with its number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft, quote, "We have no clue, and I don't think anyone in here really knows exactly what Washington is going to do," end quote. Further confirmation that Commanders General Manager Adam Peters is playing things close to the vest and has everyone guessing and speaking. Of Adam Peters. He on Monday afternoon spoke with reporters about a variety of topics, and I, coming up on the show, will react to and discuss the best of what Peters had to say. Next segment, I'll spend some time on the biggest news that was made by Peters on Monday afternoon, him saying that the Commanders are not trading interior defensive lineman Jonathan Allen. And then the following segment, I'll get into what Peters on Monday afternoon said about, yes, the quarterback decision via the team's number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft. And you in that segment will hear even more evidence that Peters is playing things close to the vest and has everyone guessing. During that segment, we'll give you some thoughts on the latest free agent acquisition by the Commanders. They on Monday afternoon announced the signing of unrestricted free agent center/guard Michael Dieter. Also on the show, I'll talk Wizards, who, get this, have the longest active winning streak in the Eastern Conference. Yes, you heard that right. Our tanking and rebuilding Wizards have the longest active winning streak in the Eastern Conference. Monday night, a 107-105 win at the Chicago Bulls for the Wizards' third consecutive win, their longest winning streak of this NBA regular season. Before we get to some feedback, if you are an Orioles fan, take note, The Athletic on Monday morning reported that MLB owners on Wednesday are scheduled to vote on the sale of the O's from the Angelos family to the group being led by private equity billionaire David Rubenstein. The O's begin their 2024 regular season on Thursday, so we on the day before their 2024 opening day should have the finalizing of the sale of the team. Outstanding news. Joe Angel, speak to me.
And the Orioles again in the win column.
That's right, Joe. Thank you very much. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Email from Steve B on what the Commanders should do with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft. Right, Steve? Longtime early morning listener. At my house, it's Al Galdi with my morning coffee. I am an avid mock draft enthusiast and wannabe general manager. When you are on with Ben Standing, it would be very entertaining to hear a mock draft from each of you. Could be two different shows. I understand that Ben also is a mock draft nerd. My special interest is a mock draft for the scenario in which Washington trades down maybe 2 times. Washington has so many holes that I think this could be a very smart alternative. Having 4 or more additional picks in the top 100 and a couple of second rounders in 2025 would be huge. The chances of nailing a franchise quarterback are marginal, no matter where you pick. We could pick up Michael Penix or Bo Nix, a couple of premium offensive tackles and edge players, and a quality receiver, linebacker, running back, tight end, and a couple of defensive backs. There are a lot of good players in the top 100. I could be crazy, but I would draft Joe Milton on a late round flyer. Could you imagine him running the red zone offense at 6'5 and 240 pounds, similar to Taysom Hill? Thanks for what you do. Well, thank you for the email, Steve. Now, that is a man who has put serious thought into what the Commanders should do in the 2024 draft. We on this podcast have not spent much time talking about the quarterbacks in the draft beyond the big four of USC's Caleb Williams, North Carolina's Drake May, LSU's Jaden Daniels, and Michigan's J.J. McCarthy. But yeah, we should examine the likes of Washington's Michael Penix and Oregon's Bo Nix, and even Tennessee's Joe Milton III. Milton is a big dude. He this past March 2nd at the NFL Scouting Combine measured as being 6'5 and 1/8 of an inch and 235 pounds. He is a mobile quarterback with the size to overpower would-be tacklers. And Milton has a rocket of an arm. He at the Combine registered a passing velocity of 62 miles per hour, tying the combine record. Now, the passing velocity combine data goes back to 2008. And I should note, registering a passing velocity of 61 miles per hour at the combine was J.J. McCarthy, on whom we got great insight on Monday's show, episode 790, from Pro Football Focus senior data analyst and Commanders fan Nick Akridge. By the way, McCarthy's college head coach, Jim Harbaugh, now the Los Angeles Chargers head coach, he, during his session with reporters at the AFC Coaches Breakfast on Monday morning, raved about McCarthy. This was Harbaugh on McCarthy's performance at Michigan's Pro Day, which was this past Friday.
That the workout JJ had, I've been to a lot of Pro Day workouts and watch quarterbacks throw. That was the best I've ever seen a quarterback do at a pro day. I mean, not only was his feet great in the individual drills but then he started throwing and it was like every throw was, you know, right there. I thought our receivers did a great job too. They all had a great day, but that was the best throwing day I've ever seen. And then, you know, hear coaches and GMs, you know, come up to me and say, hey, you know, great job with JJ. And, you know, we, like I predicted, once they were around him, I was hearing the stories about how he is on the board, how he is, you know, on the field, the little things, the intangibles. I mean, it was absolutely no surprise whatsoever. But there was raving. I mean, it was great to hear, incredible to hear. I know it was sincere. It was unsolicited. Yeah, but I mean there's numerous GMs, numerous head coaches, couldn't say enough good things. And it was, I mean, you could just see it, right? I mean, his pro day, I've never seen a better one.
High praise from Jim Harbaugh for J.J. McCarthy, as you would expect. Email from Dave in Israel on what the Commanders should do with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft, and on NFL insider Albert Breer of the MMQB in an appearance on NBC Sports Boston this past Thursday, March 21st, saying, quote, "The more I've started to ask around, the more it seems like Jaden Daniels is probably the leader in the clubhouse to be a Commander," end quote. Writes Dave, "We have no idea how a number 2 overall drafted quarterback will pan out. Don't listen to any hype. No one knows. If I was Washington, I would take a swing at quarterback with the number 2 overall pick. Get your guy. The extra picks that could be won by trading back are quick fix, short-term thinking. And with that number 2 overall pick, I would take the biggest swing. Drake May, by far, is the biggest swing given his age, 2 years younger than Jaden Daniels, and given May's talent. I, from too many observers who I highly respect, hear Drake cited as the 1A quarterback in the draft, not just the 2. I would actually be very surprised if Washington doesn't take May. I would regard any Daniels rumors as a smart smokescreen." Thank you for the email, Dave. I don't disagree. I like Jaden Daniels, but I do like Drake May more. And I am very intrigued by J.J. McCarthy, but right now I would want the Commanders to take May. And I reserve the right to change that stance. But right now, this moment in time, I'm a Drake May guy. And if you have a big event that you are planning and need a catering service, you should want Catering by Uptown. It is the best catering service in the DMV, and Catering by Uptown, through the end of this month, is offering a special deal for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Visit cateringbyuptown.com. Set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get the discount. If you are planning a wedding, you want great service, but also a great price. Catering by Uptown provides both. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. Catering by Uptown also can help you if you're planning a party or a corporate event. Catering by Uptown is a family business. Great service, amazing cuisine, and reliability are the foundation of what makes Catering by Uptown one of the most referred caterers throughout Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. Whether you are planning a wedding, a birthday, anniversary, or retirement celebration, a charity gala, whatever, put Catering by Uptown to work for you. Catering by Uptown understands that special events deserve to be celebrated in style. Catering by Uptown takes care of every detail so that you can enjoy your event. From putting together and executing a menu to picking linens to selecting an excellent florist, Catering by Uptown is committed to meeting your needs and exceeding your expectations. And don't forget about the great offer for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Just visit cateringbyuptown.com, set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues, and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get the discount. That's cateringbyuptown.com, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. Hey, please consider following the podcast if you're not already doing that. Following the podcast is free. If you have an iPhone, you can follow the podcast simply by tapping the plus sign in the upper right corner on the page listing the recent episodes of the podcast. So, Commanders General Manager Adam Peters did a session with reporters in Orlando, Florida on Monday afternoon at the NFL's annual league meeting. Next segment, I'm going to discuss what Peter said about the team's quarterback decision via the number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. But this segment, I'm going to get into what was the biggest actual news that was made by Peters in this media avail. He said that the team is not trading interior defensive lineman Jonathan Allen. The final exchange of Peter's session with reporters was this exchange with Commanders insider Sam Fortier of the Washington Post.
One thing I don't think we've asked you, and I apologize if we have, is before, I think, the end of the season, John Allen was on the radio talking about how he might not have the appetite to go through another rebuild. Do you expect him to be with the team this year?
Well, we're recalibrating. So we're not rebuilding. No, we've had some great talks with Jonathan and can't wait to work with him. He's awesome. He's a great, great young man and he's a great player. And so really excited to work with him. So we are not interested in trading him.
All right, so that was about as direct as you can be, right? Adam Peters on potentially trading John Allen, quote, "We are not interested in trading him," end quote. There were five primary reasons for why John Allen had come up as potentially being traded this offseason. One, the Commanders have a new football operations regime. Two, Allen has no guaranteed money left in the four-year contract extension that he signed on July 27th, 2021. Three, Allen in the 2023 season did not have his best season and was part of a Commanders defense that was awful. Four, Allen in the 2023 season expressed frustration and expressed an openness to being traded. And five, the 2024 season will be Allen's age 29 season. And so if it takes the Commanders a few seasons to get good, then Allen, by the time that the team gets good, may well be past his peak. All of these were reasons for why John Allen had come up as potentially being traded this offseason. But at no point did I, or anyone who I'm aware of, think that Allen being traded this offseason was definite or even likely. Him being traded this offseason just had been out there as a possibility. There is a lot to like about John Allen. He has been very productive. He has been very durable. So much for him falling in the 2017 NFL draft. Remember that? The Redskins took Allen with the number 17 overall pick in the 2017 draft out of Alabama off him having been projected to be a top 10, if not top 5 pick in that draft. Allen fell in the draft due to concerns about him having arthritic shoulders and him having not had a great performance at the 2017 NFL scouting combine. Well, Allen in his 2017 rookie regular season did play in just 5 games due to a Liz Frank injury, but he, over the last 6 seasons, 2018 through 2023, has played in 96 of a possible 99 regular season games. He has been extremely durable, and I can't remember a single time in his NFL career that his shoulders have come up as an issue. The greatest interior defensive lineman in team history is Dave Butts. John Allen is making a case for being number two. However, he is coming off a mixed 2023 season. Now, there were positives. Allen, for the 2023 regular season, ranked number 17 among all qualified interior defensive linemen in the NFL in ESPN's pass rush win rate, which is based on player tracking data from the NFL's Next Gen Stats. Allen, for the 2023 regular season, over 16 games, had a team-best 19 quarterback hits. He, in his very good 2022 regular season, over 16 games, had 17 quarterback hits. So he, in the same amount of games, actually had more quarterback hits in the 2023 regular season than he had in the 2022 regular season. But there was a lot about Allen's 2023 season that was not good. You start with this. He was part of a Commanders defense that was horrible. The Commanders for the 2023 regular season were number 31 out of 32 NFL teams in total defense per DVOA. Now, was Allen the defense's biggest problem? No. But he was part of a defensive line that was a big-time disappointment, resulting in the team trading edge defenders Montez Sweat and Chase Young this past Halloween. Also, Allen for the 2023 regular season registered an overall grade for Pro Football Focus of just 59.7, which is quite bad. PFF grades are on a scale of 0 to 100. And then there was the leadership. Allen, of course, is known for being a great leader, and I don't really doubt that he has been a great leader, but there was a woe-is-me nature to some of his public comments last season that, to me, was not leader-like. Allen, in a post-game session with reporters following the Commanders' 14-7 loss at the New York Giants this past October 22nd, sounded off about being, quote, tired, end quote, of losing with Washington. Take a listen and prepare to hear some naughty words. They came via this exchange with Commanders insider J.P. Finley of NBC4.
Does it get frustrating when that
Yes, it does. I'm fucking tired of this shit. I'm fucking tired of this bullshit. It's been 7 fucking years of the same shit. I'm tired of this shit.
What can you do now going forward to get it turned around?
Get our minds right and get ready to play fucking Philadelphia.
All right, so that was John Allen last October 22nd. Then Allen, in an appearance on The Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan this past December 4th, expressed an openness to being traded by the Commanders. Now, in fairness to Allen, if you listen to that appearance on The Junkies, he was asked about possibly being traded. It's not like he brought up being traded on his own. He was asked a question. He answered the question. And bottom line, if the worst thing that we ever say about John Allen is that he and the team's horrendous 2023 season expressed frustration, well, that's not so bad. But last season was Allen's fifth season as a captain for Washington. It is when times are tough that you most need leadership. Times for the team were very tough last season, and I thought that there was too much woe is me from Allen last season when that was like the last thing that the team needed. You know, something that you may have noticed from various Commanders insiders, people like John Keim of ESPN and Nikki Javala of the Washington Post, is them talking about how one of the team's big free agent acquisitions this offseason, linebacker Bobby Wagner, is going to provide some much-needed leadership for the team. And I have to tell you, I laugh whenever I hear that. Not because John and Nikki are wrong, but because I say to myself, what about John Allen? Like, what does it say that John Allen has been a captain for the team for 5 seasons, and yet it still is in need of leadership on defense? But look, there is a lot more good with John Allen than there is bad. The 2023 season was not a great season for him, just as it was not a great season for a lot of people with the Commanders. And it sure sounds like Allen will be back with the Commanders for the 2024 season and perhaps beyond.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
More now from Commanders General Manager Adam Peters from his session with reporters in Orlando, Florida on Monday afternoon at the NFL's annual league meeting. Let us talk about the Commanders at quarterback, with them having the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. And let's start with this. Adam Peters on Monday afternoon said regarding whether the Commanders have arrived at an answer with what they want to do with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 Draft, quote, "We're far from our answer," end quote. He said that at the end of an answer regarding having a month until the 2024 draft's first round, which will take place on Thursday night, April 25th. Monday was March 25th. This was Peters on Monday afternoon via an exchange with a friend of this podcast, Commanders insider Ben Standig of The Athletic.
Whether you're going to tell us or not, do you know right now what you want to do?
Now, we still have a lot of it. A month till the draft today. Yeah, right. So it doesn't sound like a long time, but you get a lot of information in that month. And there's still some of the guys we haven't seen still in person. So we'll go out and do that next week, see a couple more quarterbacks. And then we'll do visits with them. We'll do Zoom calls. We'll do a lot of different things. So we're far from our answer.
Okay, and it may well be that Adam Peters was telling the truth right there, but at the very least, he himself must have a lean, right? He may not have a final definitive decision on what he wants to do with the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft, but I would be stunned if he doesn't have at least a lean. There is so much to think about with the quarterbacks in the 2024 draft. We'll put USC's Caleb Williams off to the side, given the extreme likelihood of the Chicago Bears taking him with the number 1 overall pick, but North Carolina's Drake May, LSU's Jaden Daniels, Michigan's J.J. McCarthy, and others. This is perceived to be a very good draft for quarterbacks, but who the heck knows? The quarterback class for the 2021 draft was thought to be good, and yet save for Trevor Lawrence, that class now looks, shall we say, not so good. And you could argue that even Lawrence has not been what he was hyped to be, but the other quarterbacks taken over the first two rounds of the 2021 draft are Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and Kyle Trask. I mean, how underwhelming does that class look, at least right now? This was Adam Peters on Monday afternoon on if it's hard to not fall in love with a quarterback during the pre-draft process.
Yeah, it's funny, like with anything, when you're interviewing anybody, whether it's quarterback or coach or whatever, you just get a chance to, you really get to know these people and you really like them. You know, I don't know, that's just kind of how it goes. That's how I am anyway. Maybe I'm a sucker, but that's why it's good to have a great process and to go be thorough with your process and not make snap judgments and have recency bias, who the last person you talk to, oh, he's my favorite. So going through the whole process, like we were saying, all the way up to draft day and making the best decision with all that information and trying to be as unbiased as possible.
All right. Here was Adam Peters on Monday afternoon on whether NFL readiness is a factor in which quarterback to take via the team's number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft.
Yeah, you weigh that. You know, how ready are they immediately, or how much work do they have to do, and then how can you get them there? And so with the guys we have in the room right now, I don't think we have to rush anybody, and so that's a great thing, whether with Marcus in there, with Jake in there, we're not going to have to rush whoever. If we draft a guy, we wouldn't have to rush him into play right away, and that's not how we work anyway. You know, we're going to play the person who's going to be give us the best chance to win.
Interesting to hear Adam Peters make it very clear that the Commanders beginning the 2024 regular season with a non-rookie quarterback as the starter is very much on the table. And yes, he did mention holdover quarterback Jake Fromm, in addition to mentioning one of the team's free agent acquisitions this offseason, quarterback Marcus Mariota. Here was Adam Peters on Monday afternoon on why the Commanders signed Mariota. And then you'll hear a follow-up exchange with Commanders insider J.P. Finley of NBC4 on why Peters traded quarterback Sam Howell.
Yeah, Marcus, you know, obviously he's been in the league a long time. He's won a lot of games. He's won playoff games. So knowing him from, he has a great relationship with Brian Johnson, who put in a great word for him. And so understanding what he's all about and the type of person he'd be in that room supporting whoever else is in that room. So, and the fact that he's still really good. You know, he's athletic, he can throw it, he's smart, and he's got familiarity with what we do. So we're really, really happy to get Marcus in. We explored, I think anytime in free agency you have to explore a number of different options because you don't know who you're gonna get, but we're really excited to have Marcus.
What about the decision to trade Sam?
With Sam, yeah, I mean, it wasn't an easy decision, and you know, even you know, since I first started talking with you guys when I got here, Sam's—he's tough. He's really tough. He's smart. He's a great, great kid. He's talented. He's athletic. So there's a lot of great things about Sam. Ultimately, you know, we thought as we went through that process, we talked with his representatives. We let him know what we were doing, like throughout it all, and once. Once we decided as an organization that we're gonna explore a trade, you know, we got some good interest, and ultimately Seattle was really excited to get him. Him and his agent is Bruce Tolmer, really, really good agent and a friend of mine, and they were excited about getting to Seattle. So I think it was one of those things where it really worked out for us, it worked out for Sam, and then worked out for the Seahawks.
Okay, so a very nice, polite, politically correct answer from Adam Peters on why he traded Sam Howell. Bottom line, Peters is not a big believer in Sam. Otherwise, Peters would not have traded Sam. I just come back to, hey, until you have the quarterback position truly figured out, you should have and should be developing as many young quarterbacks as reasonably possible. And I do see Sam as still having upside, but there's no doubt that developing quarterbacks is tricky. Adam Peters on Monday afternoon on if there's a right way to develop a quarterback in the current NFL.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing to do in sports, I think, is evaluate and develop a quarterback. And, but what you want to do is make sure you do as much as you can to let them develop. So we've built DQ did an incredible job in terms of building a great ecosystem for quarterbacks in our building. When you have Cliff, then you have Brian Johnson, you have Tavita, and we have David Blau too. So there's four people right there that they'll be able to focus on the quarterback room, and it's like four quarterbacks, right? So you get it's 1-to-1. Teacher,
yeah,
student ratio. That's pretty good. But no, I think that was intentional the way we did that. And so you give yourself the best chance to develop whoever's in that room as fast as you can.
So Adam Peters right there confirming what we had suspected, that a big part of what went into the construction of head coach Dan Quinn's coaching staff was developing a quarterback. Offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, assistant head coach / offensive pass game coordinator Brian Johnson, quarterbacks coach Tavita Pritchard, assistant quarterbacks coach David Blau. Kingsbury and Johnson especially have impressive histories developing quarterbacks. Also on Monday afternoon was Adam Peters addressing the Commanders potentially trading down in the first round of the 2024 draft. But before we get to what Peters said about that, I want to first play some stuff from the NFL Network show, The Insiders. The Insiders is a good show. It features the various NFL insiders for NFL Network and NFL.com. We've talked about how Adam Peters seemingly has everyone guessing with what he's going to do with the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft. The Commanders, as best as we can tell, are playing things close to the vest. And that is something that is a good thing because that helps to drive up the trade price for that number 2 overall pick. Not that the Commanders necessarily are looking to trade down in the first round, but you always want to be receiving the best possible trade offers. Well, here's maybe the best example yet of the Commanders playing things close to the vest. We on Monday, on the Insiders, in the exact same segment, seconds apart, had two NFL insiders saying two totally different things about what the belief is regarding what the Commanders will do with the number two overall pick in the 2024 draft. First up, Mike Garofalo.
When you poll the other teams here, they think that Washington is locking in on Jaden Daniels for whatever that's worth. Really, it doesn't matter what they think in the end, but they're starting to get the feel like he's going to wind up being the guy at number two. We shall see.
All right, so Mike Garofalo saying that NFL teams are thinking, quote, that Washington is locking in on Jaden Daniels, end quote. Well, then, just seconds later, Tom Pelissero said this.
It's been really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially at the top of the draft, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy. So a lot of drama still to come.
Okay, so Tom Pelissero saying that per executives from NFL teams who know Adam Peters and the Commander situation well, quote, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy, end quote. Put aside whether you think what Mike Garofalo said was most true or whether you think what Tom Pelissero said was most true. Put aside perhaps even the shock value of Pelissero saying that the most popular answer for what the Commanders are going to do at two is J.J. McCarthy, because that definitely stood out. But put all of that aside. Just zoom out from 30,000 feet here. Mike Garofalo says Jaden Daniels. Seconds later, Tom Pelissero says J.J. McCarthy. Two prominent NFL insiders hearing two totally different things. That, my friends, is the best example yet of Adam Peters playing everyone like a fiddle, okay? He is a puppet master right now in terms of making people think all kinds of things with what the team is thinking with that number two overall pick in the 2024 draft. Here's the bottom line. Nobody knows anything. We all know nothing. This was Adam Peters on Monday afternoon on potentially trading down in the first round of the 2024 draft.
Yeah, it's a big decision, obviously, but I think just like anything we do, it's about what's best for us, right? So if the best thing for us is to stand pat, then we'll stand pat. But you're always going to listen to all the different possibilities, trading up, trading back, no matter where you're at. Pick, 36, 40, 67, 70, 800. So you're always going to look, okay, what are the best things for us? Weigh all the different possibilities and make the best decision you think for us at the time.
And that, of course, is the right way to be thinking. We do have another free agent signing by the Commanders. They, on Monday afternoon, announced the signing of unrestricted free agent center/guard Michael Dieter. The 2024 season will be Dieter's age at 28 season. Dieter was taken by the Miami Dolphins in the third round of the 2019 draft out of Wisconsin. He played for the Dolphins for the 2019 through 2022 seasons, then played for the Houston Texans last season off having signed with them as an unrestricted free agent in March 2023. Dieter, over his five NFL seasons, has started 33 regular season games, including 10 games for the Texans last regular season. He was their starting center for each of their last 10 games in the regular season, and then for two games in the postseason. The Commanders' starting center is another free agent acquisition this offseason, Tyler Biadasz. But Michael Dieter, at the very least, provides depth at center, and he, in theory, could compete with another free agent acquisition this offseason, Nick Allegretti, for the starting left guard job. This was Adam Peters on Monday afternoon on the Commanders' 2024 free agent class as a whole.
Yeah, I think it was really, we set out to to get players that fit what we do. First of all, on the field, play the way we want them to play, play style, and then the right type of people as well. And both of those things were really points of emphasis for us. And the way you do that, I think a lot of times is, you know, people you know. Research, you know, you can research other teams, but the best evaluations you can do are when you're around somebody day in and day out. So we happened to get a lot of guys that we had really good familiarity with and knew what they were all about, and they were knew their play style, their mentality, the way they practiced, the way they worked, how much they loved football. So those were the things we set out to do, and I thought we did. Our team did a really good job of getting those guys in.
Yeah, a lot of new guys have been brought in, and a lot of players who had been on the Commanders now are gone. Adam Peters on Monday afternoon on the roster overhaul that he has engineered.
Yeah, I think, you know, we brought in guys, like we said, who we had great familiarity with, and the players that we brought in from Washington from the year before, I don't know if you guys saw last night with FA, was special, what his presentation last night. But the players that, you know, we found, like Jeremy Reeves and FA and Cornelius and Jameson, those guys fit, you know, both what we do from a schematic standpoint and from a character standpoint. So we were really excited to bring those guys back. And then, so there was really no concerted effort either way to bring back Commanders or not bring back Commanders, just bringing in the guys that we thought could help us win and would help us build our culture.
All right, a lot of good stuff on the Commanders offseason right now at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. With everything happening with the Commanders, make sure that you're listening to this podcast. And if you're on Instagram, make sure that you're following at WSH on the Daily. WSH on the Daily just started in 2021 and yet has well over 26,000 followers. The page is growing at a rapid rate, and the page is what its title suggests, daily. The page is updated every day. News, notes, reports, photos, graphics. WSH on the Daily is a page that properly sources and vets its news and information, doesn't just post anything that anyone says. WSH on the Daily responds to every single DM. WSH on the Daily is a page at which you can have fun, including a great jersey giveaway that's going on right now. To enter, all that you have to do is go to the page and read the pinned post. And WSH on the Daily always has a great fresh look. If you are on Instagram, check out at WSH on the Daily and check out at WSH on the Daily's online shop, WSHonthedaily.com. Some outstanding gear, shirts, hoodies, excellent material, modern looks. So for smart, informative, fun, and engaging Commanders content, check out at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. And for great merch, visit WSHonthedaily.com.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, the Wizards are in the midst of a stretch of playing 10 of 11 games at home. The lone road game during that stretch was on Monday night, and the Wizards won that game for their third consecutive win, marking their longest winning streak of this NBA regular season. Yes, our tanking and rebuilding Wizards have won three consecutive games. You know, the Wizards better be careful and not ruin their odds in the 2024 NBA draft lottery too much, but a 107-105 win at the Chicago Bulls on Monday night. The Wizards for this regular season now are 14-58, second worst record in the NBA, but their three-game winning streak is the longest active winning streak in the Eastern Conference, if you can believe that. The Wizards began the game on a 15-0 run, blew a 16-point second quarter lead in the third quarter, but then never trailed in the fourth quarter. Now, the Bulls are without key players in Zach LaVine and Patrick Williams due to season-ending injuries, but the Wizards on Monday night were without a bunch of key guys. Kyle Kuzma did not play for a third time in five games due to left shoulder soreness. Denny Avdija did not play due to a non-COVID illness. Tyus Jones did not play for a sixth consecutive game due to a back injury. Landry Shamet did not play for an eighth consecutive game due to a left calf strain. Eugene Omoruyi did not play for a fourth consecutive game due to a sprained right ankle. Additionally, remaining done for the season are Bilal Coulibaly due to a right wrist fracture and Isaiah Livers due to a right hip ailment. So this was a depleted Wizards team. Heck, their starting five was Jordan Poole, Corey Kispert, Johnny Davis, Patrick Baldwin Jr., and Rashawn Holmes, and yet the Wizards won. Their defense was good. They held the Bulls to just 10 of 35 on threes and 26 of 52 on twos, and held the Bulls to just 17 points in the first quarter and just 23 points in the fourth quarter. The Wizards' offense was good enough. They went just 14 of 49 on threes, but also 25 of 48 on twos and totaled 32 assists. Jared Butler off the bench, 13 assists. He, in 27 minutes, 22 seconds as a reserve, had 13 assists versus 4 turnovers. He did go 0 of 6 on threes, but he also went 3 of 6 on twos and 2 of 2 on free throws and had 8 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Also, the Wizards had 14 offensive rebounds to the Bulls' 9 and thus had 19 second chance points to the Bulls' 13. Rashawn Holmes, 30 minutes, 38 seconds as a starter, 15 rebounds, including 6 offensive boards. He went 0 of 1 on threes, 6 of 9 on twos, and 2 of 3 on free throws. Finished with 14 points and 2 assists versus 2 turnovers. Corey Kispert, a big rebounding game for him. 38 minutes, 34 seconds as a starter, 12 rebounds, including 3 offensive boards. He did go just 6 of 18 from the field, just 3 of 10 on threes, and just 3 of 8 on twos, but did also go 4 of 4 on free throws and did finish with 19 points, 3 assists versus 2 turnovers and 2 steals. And Marvin Bagley the third, he in 17 minutes 20 seconds off the bench scored 16 points and had a game best plus minus rating of plus 11. He went 7 of 8 from the field, all twos, and 2 of 2 on free throws. He had 2 rebounds. I don't put too much stock in the Wizards doing better lately. There have been plenty of late season wins by bad Bullets / Wizards teams over the years, but the team under interim head coach Brian Keefe is playing better. The team now is 5-5 over its last 10 games. This was Keefe during his post-game press conference on Monday night.
I think it's a little bit of the fruit of all the work that we've done. I think, you know, we've been in a lot of close situations. We've learned a lot. We've worked on a lot of these stuffs in practice, and now I think we're seeing some growth and we're seeing improvement. We're not there yet. We're never going to assume that. But I think we're seeing that we're executing better down the stretch, both offensively and defensively. So these are great lessons for our guys, and really thrilled that they got the win tonight.
All right, next up for the Wizards, home to the Brooklyn Nets, Wednesday night at 7. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Wednesday show, episode 792. We'll include a lot for you on the Commanders as head coach Dan Quinn was expected to meet with reporters on Tuesday morning at 7:45 in Orlando, Florida at the NFL's annual league meeting. Also, on Wednesday's show, I'll talk Capitals, who on Tuesday night have their biggest game of the season so far. The Caps are home to the Detroit Red Wings Tuesday night at 7. The Caps are 1 point ahead of the Red Wings for the Eastern Conference's second and final wildcard spot. By the way, the NHL on Monday afternoon named the Caps a top line left wing, a man known as the Great Eight, Alex Ovechkin, the NHL's first star for the week ending this past Sunday, March 24th. Even though technically Sunday is the first day of the week, but Ovi last week scored an NHL leading 7 goals in 4 games. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Do you have a sense of what Washington will do it to, or how concerted will you try to figure that out throughout this process?
Honestly, we have no clue, and I don't think anyone in here really knows exactly what Washington is going to do.